Good morning. We're looking this morning in Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to read several verses in Genesis 2. Y'all love me, right? Okay. You remember that over the next 35 minutes, okay? Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to read several verses. Verse 7. Genesis 2, verse 7. The Lord... I still hear people turning pages. Genesis 2. It's on page 3. Remember, I made you laugh too early on. 2:7. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Verse 18. The Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Verse 21. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of man. And he, God, brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." Verse 24. For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Genesis 4 and verse 1. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." There we have the record. It is the record of the first home. It is the family as God planned it, as God made it, and as God intended for it to be. Sadly, today there are many who think that the family is outdated. They tell us that the family, the home, has failed us. They say to us that the traditional family, by traditional, I mean the way that God intended and made the family to be, they tell us that that institution is no longer suitable for our society. I disagree. The family is not outdated. The family has not failed us. In fact, the only thing that's wrong with the home is that people today no longer respect what the Bible says about it. Today is Mother's Day. And among other things, what that means is that at some point today, families all over America are going to get together. Sometime today, you're going to get in touch some way with Mama. So what I want to do today is that I want to use this day to bring all of us back. I want to bring us back to a clear understanding and appreciation for what the family is for. You understand that God could have put us together any way that He deemed fit to. But God placed us in families. There has to be a reason for that. And I'm going to be very honest right up front before I start. 50 years ago, this was probably a sermon that would never have to be preached. Because 50 years ago, everybody understood that family was important. But today, we have heard so much nonsense about the home. We have heard so many strange voices speaking forth so many strange things about the family that a lot of people in our society are now confused about it. Everybody now isn't sure that family is such a wonderful place. People are confused today. They're not sure of even what the family is for. So this morning, I want to bring us back to that. I want us to take a look at what the family is for. And in one lesson, there's no way you can bring forth everything. But this morning, I want to share with you three things that family is for, and from these three things, we're going to reach a great deal about what family is about. So what's the family for? What's it for? Let me suggest, number one, that the family is a shelter in the times of storm. It is a shelter in the times of storm. You see, at one time or another, all of us must face life's chilling storm. Sooner or later, all of us have in our life the winds of unfavorable circumstances that blow through. And when we must face and when we must deal with the storms of life, where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? I want to suggest to you this morning that there are three kinds of storms that every one of us will face in our lives. Three kinds. First, there is the storm of change. The storm of change. There is the change of employment. Now, there was a time back in the day that when you got a job and when you went to work, that wherever you went, that was your job and you stayed there till you retired. But no more. There was a time and a day when if you were somewhere employed and if you had 10 or 15 years seniority, you had what was called job security. But no more. No more. And with the changings of job, with the changing of jobs, it comes that great anxiety. Then there is the changing of locations. We are now a very mobile society. Used to, wherever you moved, that was your home, that was your hood, and that's where you grew up and lived. But now we move about, and that brings anxiety. There are the changes of life that come due to sickness, either sickness to ourselves or to someone whom we love. There are the changes of life that come due to advancing age. And life is just now this constant change. But as each of us must go through the storms of change in our lives, where can we go for comfort? Where can we go for strength during the storms of change? We ought to be able to go home. In the storm of change, it's family that puts their arm around you and tell you, look, it's going to be okay. This too shall pass. We all must face the storm of change. But a second storm that we must all deal with is the storm of failure. Listen, you're not always going to get the promotion. You're not always going to get an A on the report card. You're not always going to make the big sale. You're not always going to make the team. In fact, there are going to be times where we fail, where we utterly fail, and when we totally fail. And when we fail, where is it that we can go? We ought to be able to go to family and be encouraged. Family doesn't say, I told you so. Family doesn't say, you were told different. Family is a shelter in times of storm. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, the writer says that two are better than one. Because if there are two, if one falls, he has someone to help him back to his feet. But woe to the man who is alone, who when he falls, has no one to help him to rise again. Family is what helps us back to our feet when we're down. Family doesn't stand on our throat and preach us a sermon before they let us back up. The sermon has to be preached before they fall. When somebody falls, they don't need a sermon. Bless God, they need some help. Family. What is it for? Family is a shelter in times of storms. When the world spins and lays on you, what you need is help, and family can give you the help, or it ought to. A third storm that every one of us faces is the storm of rejection. Rejection. The world is a very cruel place. The world will tell you quick, we don't need you anymore. The world will tell you fast, you're not a part of us anymore, go away. When I was a little boy, growing up on the Lower East Side, St. Jean and Jefferson, the Holy Land, there was a whole bunch of kids. I'm telling you, there had to be something in the water back then, because there was kids just everywhere. And we played a bunch of games together. Let me tell you something about the games we played. All of the games that we played had something to do with home. We play kick the can. You ever play kick the can? You got a clue. You turn the TV off and go outside, you might learn that anyway. I don't have time for that. In kick the can, there was a home base. We play baseball. In baseball, there's home plate. In hide and go seek, there was a place that was home. Now, in every one of these games, home is a place where you were safe. In every one of those games, when you were on home, then nobody could get to you. We all need a place in life where we're safe. We all need a place in life where we can go, where others can't get to us. And that place is home. Listen, nobody wants to go out into the world and face all the storms that life brings, go through all of the drama that life brings. Nobody wants to do all of that and then come home and still have to fight when you get inside the house. What is family for? Family is a shelter in times of storms. When life is cruel, when the changes of life come, when the world rejects you, when you have failed and nobody wants anything to do with you, you ought to be able to come through the front door and say, "We're glad you're here." What's family for? Number two. Family is not only a shelter in times of storms. Are you listening? Number two, family is a learning center for life. Now listen to me. I'm not mad at anybody, okay? I'm not trying to hurt anybody. You understand that? Okay, home. Home is the place where we teach our children the skills that are going to carry them through the rest of their lives. Home is where they learn that. The Bible compares the bringing up and the nurturing of a child to the nurturing of a young plant. In Psalm 144 and in verse 12, the psalmist says, "My son must be nurtured as a young plant." What is he talking about? When you set out a plant, a young plant, you don't set it out and then just walk away and leave it. It has to be nurtured. It has to be watched. It has to be cared for. It's got to get water, but don't give it too much water. It's got to have sun, but don't give it too much sun. So you must help to nurture it along. Brother, that's the same thing we must do with children. We can't just have children and then set them out on their own. They got to be watched. They got to be cared for. They got to be nurtured. And the question as parents that we must ask ourselves over and over and over and never stop asking ourselves is, what does my child need from me now? Amen. What do my children need from me? Family is a learning center for life. There are three things that every child learns at home. First, every child learns relationships at home. Every child learns the importance of relationships at home. The child learns the importance of the relationship between himself and his parents. He learns the importance of relationships between himself and his other siblings. He learns the importance of relationships between his mother and his father by watching their relationships. And when the child learns the importance of relationships at home, the child then leaves home and he goes out and he puts those principles of relationships into his own life and in his own world. So what he has learned about relationships at home, he puts that into practice at school. You can't put on a teacher that she or he has to teach your child about relationships. That's your job. That's on you. That's on me. Amen. They learn about relationships at home. Secondly, the second thing that every child learns at home is they learn about character. You listening? Character. Let me tell you something about character. Character is something that is more caught than taught. What's the family for? A family is a learning center. At home, a child learns the basic skills that he'll follow for his life. What a child learns at home is about character. You can't take a little one. You can't look in the face of that little one and say, now you be honest, you be honest, you tell the truth, don't you lie. And then in the face of that child, you stand and lie to somebody, and the child knows you're lying to that somebody. A child cannot connect them dots. They can't. When Linda Ellerbe was anchor of NBC News on the weekend, Linda Ellerbe received a letter from a little girl whose desire in life was to be an anchor person. She wrote Miss Ellerbe a letter, and in the letter, the little girl said this. She said, when I grow up, I want to do exactly what you do, so please do the best you can. Mom, you hear me? Dad, you listening? When I grow up, I want to do exactly what you do, so please do the best you can. Little eyes are watching us. Little feet are following us. Little ears are listening to us. Little minds are absorbing and taking it all in from us. One day, our words will likely become their words. One day, our thoughts are likely to become their thoughts. One day, our ways are likely to become their ways. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 26, the writer of Proverbs said, my son, observe my ways. Home is a learning center for life. Our children learn about relationships at home. Our children learn about character at home. And the third thing that every child learns at home is the child learns a great deal about values. Values. From the time a child is born until it's 18 years old, first 18 years of its life, if you bring that child to Sunday school to worship twice on Sunday and to Wednesday night Bible class, that child will spend approximately 4 months in church building. Approximately 4 months. The University of Michigan did a study. In the first 18 years of a child's life, the child will watch TV. Now, the times are different between the ages of 2 and 5, and they're different between the ages of 6 and 11. But according to the study at University of Michigan, a child in the first 18 years of its life will spend approximately 2.5 years in front of a TV set. And will watch more than 200,000 violent acts perpetrated. Now, here's what got me. Four months in a church building, at the most. And if you took the 2.5 and dwindled it to 2 years in front of a TV, and we wonder where our kids get their values from. You say, well, you say we ought to throw the TV out. No, 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 no. There's way too much good sports to be throwing the TV out. No, 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 no. Oh, no, 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 no. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm talking about. Here's what I'm saying. Are you listening? Here's what I'm saying. Because family is a learning center for life, and because of what our children learn at home, what I'm saying to those of us who are adults in the home is that our teaching and that our training of our children must start early with them. You can't wait for a child to be grown and then start trying to tell him what's right from wrong. The teaching must come early. It is said of Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 that from the time he was an infant, he was taught the Holy Scriptures. The psalmist said of himself in Psalm 71 and in verse 5, he said that my hope and my confidence has been in God since I was a youth. There is one incident we have in the life of Jesus as a child. Only one. And in Luke chapter 2 and in verse 52, it says of Jesus, the child, when he was 12 years old, that he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Listen to me. We must teach. We must show. We must live. And we must train our children early on. And the reason we must do that is because our time and our opportunity with them quickly passes away. Now let me tell you what I did. I took a calculator and figured this out. You can do that too. From the time a child is born until he's 18 years old is 6,570 days. 6,570 days. You say, well, that's a lot of time. It's not a lot of time when you start subtracting from that 6,570 the time the child's away from you. Subtract all the time the child sleeps and all the time you sleep. Subtract the time the child is in school. Subtract the time when you were at work. Subtract just the normal separation. And I'm telling you, when you do all that subtracting, that 6570 gets narrowed down pretty good. What am I saying? I'm saying we have to take the time, we understand it's limited, and we must ask God to help us, and then we must do the best we can. Give me 3 or 4 more minutes, okay? I know we're pushing up on it. What's the family for? The family is a shelter in times of storm. When life throws me down and stomps on me, I want to go home and I want folk there to say, you're going to be okay. What is a family for? What's it for? A family is a learning center for life. It's where we teach our children the basic skills and the knowledge that they need that will direct them through the rest of their lives. Number 3. Are you still with me? 3 more minutes, all right? We're done. But I need you to, this third thought is just as important as the other two. Number 3. Now I want you to get this. What is family for? Family is for having fun. Family is for having fun. Listen. Our kids are going to go where they can have fun. And if they can't have fun at home, they're going to go somewhere where they can't have fun. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm about to say, and don't leave here and say something I haven't said, but I'm going to say this, if it hair lips every dog in Wayne County. Sometimes we can become so rigid at home. We can become so rigid at home about what to do, what not to do, where to sit, where not to sit. It's a chair and I can't sit in it. To get some furniture I can sit in. Get some I can sit on. Don't sit there. Woo! It's a chair. Listen to me. We can get so rigid that a child actually can become uncomfortable at home, more or less being comfortable enough to bring somebody else in the home. Listen, when my two sons were young, we lived in a home that had an attached garage. In other words, the garage was attached to the house. There's no long driveway. So we put up a basketball rim because white men can jump. I'm sorry. If that offended you, I'm sorry. Now, when the garage is attached to the house and you're playing basketball, house is jacked. Because they couldn't shoot. Go ahead, because they were white, but they couldn't shoot. Go ahead. That's what you was thinking. So Deborah comes out and observes the strip of gutter on that end of the house. She said, they're tearing this gutter up. What are you going to do? I said, I'm going to take a hammer and I'm going to bang that gutter back out. And if that don't work, I'm going to put the hammer down, I'm going to take a crowbar and I'm going to rip that strip of gutter off and I'm going to call somebody. There's people who put up gutters for a living. I'm going to tell you, put the gutter back up there. Now, did they tear up the yard? Yep. Could you have flowers out there? Nope. Did you get tired of the ball hitting the house 5,614,000 times? Yep. But I rather my kids have fun at home than anywhere else in the world. Unlike them, I had game. Stay out of this. 2 minutes, I'm done, I promise. Yeah, two, just come on, just two. Can I have two because it's Mother's Day? Just give me two because okay, because I'm so sick. Let me have two more. Okay, thank you. When they were little, we used to take them to play laser tag. Laser tag back in the day, you go play laser tag, and they give you a vest, had this big thing on it, and then they hand you this, like, stick. And if you shot this thing, nothing come out. It was just a laser, and it would hit it. And they put you in a maze, and you were in there with all these other families. So we get there, and we're putting the vest on. And Deborah looks at me, and she says, I'm not doing this. I said, what are you talking about? We're not doing that. She says, I am not lasering my kids. I said, you do understand this ain't real. This is a game. I am not lasering my kids. I said, okay. Put the vest on and take that thing and come out there. Laser me. Oh, I can do that. You should have seen her. She didn't know which way to hold the stick. Then like 10 minutes later, she's going through this maze like Rambo. She gets this little kid, he couldn't have been out of preschool. She gets this little kid in the corner, and she just lights that kid up with that. He said, what are you doing? We're having fun. We're having fun. And listen, there's all this drama at home and all this serious stuff goes on. And yes, it's drama. And yes, it's serious. And yeah, there's all these things that we got to deal with. But sometimes at home, you just got to take your shoes off and say, you know what? We're just having fun. Amen? All right. I'm hungry. You hungry too, Lacey? All right.
Okay.
Well, I do the invitation, run up there and get us a Whopper each, and when I get done, I'll come right back. Okay. Strawberry malt, too. Listen. What's a family for? A family's a shelter in a time of storm. When life gets at you, God help you. There's got to be a place where you can go, close the door, and it's okay. Family is a learning center for life. We have a limited amount of time to teach what we ought to teach, to do the best. And all you can do is the best you can do. And you do the best you can do. And depending on the circumstances can make it 100 times worse. So what do I do? You pray and do the best you can do. That's all any of us can do. And then families for having fun. Families for having fun. We'll cry tomorrow. We're going to shoot hoops today. Okay? If you're here this morning and if you're not a Christian, oh, mercy. You know the restaurants are all full right now, right? All right. If you're not a Christian, you need to become a New Testament Christian this morning. Believing with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, turning from your sins, confessing Jesus, and being baptized for remission of your sins. If you're here this morning as a Christian and you've fallen away, you need to come back. If you're here this morning and your home is in shambles, look, wherever you've been, whatever you've done, you're here now. This is the first step. Say, how do I fix my life? You know what? The first step is you got to get God in it. And then we go from there. If you're here, if you need to come, God help you to do that right now as together we stand and as we sing.